Buttercup was raised on a small farm in the country of Florin. Our favorite pastimes were riding her horse and tormenting the farm boy that worked there. His name was Wesley, but she never called him that. Isn't that a wonderful beginning?
Yeah, it's really good.
Nothing gave Buttercup as much pleasure as ordering Wesley around.
Farm boy, polish my horse's saddle.
I want to see my face shining in it by morning.
As you wish.
As you wish was all he ever said.
Farm boy, fill these with water. Please.
As you wish.
That day she was amazed to discover that when he was saying as you wish, what he meant was, I love you. And even more amazing was the day she realized she truly loved him back.
Farm boy.
Fetch me that pitcher.
Good. That's enough of that. That's enough of that. But we're so glad to be with you this morning for our characters, costumes, candy, and church Sunday. And we're just looking forward to a fun time. In fact, I think everybody should turn around right back there and take a look at this wonderful family. There they are. That is really, really great. And our dinosaur family, I believe I've heard that they actually, like, can we hear you from there? Not quite. It's a little quiet.
A little bit.
But it will roar if you're close to them. So thank you for all of you that are dressed up today. Just a fun day. We were actually thinking, can we have fun and do costumes at church on Sunday morning, like with adults? And we decided, yes, of course we can. We could have fun and enjoy. And we've seen a lot of fun costumes around today down in kids' church. And just a great thing. So,
I mean, Pastor Chris here, he went all in. We've lost all the beard. All the beard.
How about it?
Except this little bit.
How about it? We're going to vote later if we should keep it like this or, oh, Heather says no. She's just like, no, we don't need a vote. It's no good. Oh, everybody says go back. So I can promise you when we get back from vacation in November, it will be full beard once again. We'll be good to go.
Hey, I have one question.
Yes.
So today, you know, afterwards, we're going to be really, really hungry, right? So yeah. I was thinking like that I could pick maybe where we wanted to go eat. So maybe we could go to maybe House of Japan for lunch today.
As you wish.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Oh, and maybe we could get some ice cream, too.
As you wish.
Yes. Can I take a nap?
As you wish.
Awesome. Well, it looks like he's in a full character this morning. So we're so glad that you're with us today. Yeah, let's have a great morning.
Wonderful. We're going to try to get this off now. Rachel, if you can be sure that we're good on the other end. Got to fix the hair. This is really important. Yeah. It's not going to fix. Okay, well, there we go. It'll be good. Here's my other glove. Thank you so much. But it is great having you today. We believe that church should be fun, that God has fun. I really believe that God is way more fun than we'd ever think about when we just think of maybe our preconceived ideals. I believe God loves people. He loves to have fun. He loves to get together. And that's why today we get to do that and just spend time together worshiping Jesus. Even this morning for me in a mask, that is a little bit uncomfortable, but you know what? I could worship just the same with a mask on. We could have fun. And just like maybe with coronavirus, we've been doing for the last few weeks or months, you know, in times of wearing masks, we can do what we need to do, and God still works. He's still on the throne, and he still moves. Now, this morning, I want to talk about a special superhero that we find in the book of Esther, and her name is Esther, and the fact specifically that God uses superheroes. I believe that God has called each and every one of us in our own way, from our own place, to be a superhero. And the cool thing about God is that all that we have to do to be a superhero, guess what? It's be obedient. It's say yes. Say yes to him, and we can be that superhero. Maybe as in the story of Esther that we're going to look like, we might not save an entire people from being slaughtered. Normally, that's not an option, a good thing. That's not an option that we have to worry about. But there's times when our obedience makes all the difference, and someone else will look at us as a superhero. Now, Rachel and I, for many years, we've been a part of our summer camps at Heartland Conference Retreat Center. And this summer with COVID, we couldn't go. But next year, we're believing we're going to be back and it's going to be fun. And it is just so much fun. But something I love about camp and doing it for a long time is there are people that we just look up to. Maybe I mentioned Heather before sitting right here, Randy next to him. When we were in camp, when we were kids together, there were the leaders, our activities directors, those people, those speakers, that they were superheroes in our life. We're like, they are so cool. I just want to be like them. If I can just be like them. And when we serve, when we honor God, that's what happens to us. All of a sudden, going to camp, kids are like, woo, there's Chris and Rachel. You know, whatever that looks like. Why? Is it because we're cool? No, we're just not. It just is how it is. But because when you're obedient, people see and you impact people's lives. Giving a word to a student at camp, it's something that you're like, I hope this is God because I don't know this kid, but here we go. And then they come back 3 or 4 years later and say, you know that word that you gave me 3 years ago? And the answer is, no, actually, I don't remember at all, but that's okay. We're like, well, you said this, and this really changed my life. God uses us from simple moments of obedience that we may or may not even ever find out what happened from those moments. Now, this morning, we're going to be looking in the book of Esther and hearing and seeing what Esther did. And just to get the story set up, you could say that Esther was put into a position as queen. She was put into a position that King Xerxes picked her, chose her to be his queen, his wife, after Queen Vashti, I would say, stood up for what was right. And in the process of standing up for what was right, she got pushed out of the kingdom, out of being queen, because she disobeyed her king, which was asking her to do something that probably wasn't appropriate and wasn't right. So Vashti chose to do right, but in this case, she got moved out, and then Queen Esther was put in a position of honor as queen. And it came to a moment where she had to decide if she was willing, because she knew what was right. She knew what she should do. And this morning, we're going to let the Princess Bride continue to help us walk through our sermon this morning, and we're going to check out this next video clip.
We are but poor, lost circus performers.
Is there a village nearby?
There is nothing nearby. Not for miles.
Then there will be no one to hear you scream.
What is that you're ripping?
It's fabric from the uniform of an army officer of Gilder.
Who is Gilder?
The country across the sea, the sworn enemy of Florin. Go! Once the horse reaches the castle, the fabric will make the prince suspect the Gilderians have abducted his love. When he finds her body dead on the Gilder frontier, his suspicions will be totally confirmed.
You never say anything about killing anyone.
I've hired you to help me start a war. It's a prestigious line of work with a long and glorious tradition.
I just don't think it's right, killing an innocent girl.
Am I going mad? Or did the word think escape your lips? You are not hired for your brains, you hippopotamic landmass.
I agree with Fezzik. Vicini, he can fuss.
Fuss. Think he like to scream at us?
Probably he means no harm.
He's really very short on charm.
You have a great gift for Ryan.
Yes. Some of the time.
Enough of that!
Fezzik, are there rocks ahead?
If they are, we all be dead.
No more rhymes now, I mean it.
Anybody want to feel it? Ah!
So first of all, that last 30 seconds was completely free, just for fun. And if you laughed, you should get this movie and watch it, because that is what this movie is, completely ridiculous and a wonderful time, which I think I need to check How many people have seen The Princess Bride in the room? So a pretty good amount. It's a really good, pretty clean movie, really clean movie, and I suggest it if you thought that was funny. If not, I would avoid it because you'll hate it, all hour and 40 minutes of it, you'll absolutely hate. So that is an important part. But in this scene, we saw that these two guys who are helping start this war, although I don't know that brains are their number one thing that they've got going for them, but they decided this was not right. It wasn't right that they would kill this girl, that they would kill Princess Buttercup. And when I think of Esther, there's a moment in our lives, there's a moment in her story where you have to decide to be a part of the solution. And almost in every situation of our life, we have an opportunity to bless and to pour good things into the situation, to pour life into people, or to bring curse, to bring judgment, to bring destruction into the situations of our life. This includes our personal story. Right where you are, every single day, you have the opportunity to bring life and let the word of God become real in your life, or to maybe go against what the word would say. And to have things that all of a sudden tear you down or get you in a place where you're not experiencing God as we should. Esther, in the story here in Esther and then chapter 2, she had kept her family background and nationality a secret. Because the Jewish people were not exactly a royalty here. In fact, they were peasants. They had been conquered. They were brought in. So no one knew who she was. But Mordecai, who was her cousin, had brought her into her home, into his home, had almost adopted her, and had just been a blessing to her. And all of a sudden, a moment happened where in Esther chapter 4, we see that there was a plot that came against the Jewish people. In fact, in verse 7, it says, Mordecai told him that all that happened to him and the exact sum of money that Haman had promised to pay into the king's treasury for the destruction of the Jews. There was something that happened that Haman, one of the high officials who hated the Jewish people, who hated Mordecai, came up with a plan, paid for this plan and this plot to happen so the Jewish people would be killed. But Mordecai found out about it. Mordecai knew what was coming. Mordecai was in a place where he had to do something. And then jumping to verse 11, it says, all the king's officials and even the people in the provinces know that anyone who appears before the king in the inner court without being invited is doomed to die unless the king holds out his golden scepter. And the king has not called for me to come for more than 40 days. Esther's telling Mordecai through this message to say, if I go, my life will be in danger. If I go before the king, if I go to plead for what God has, if I go to be the superhero, to be obedient, I could die. And there's a moment in each and every one of our lives where we simply must decide, am I going to be a part of the solution? Am I going to do what I've been called to do? Am I going to say yes to where God has placed me or not? When I begin to think about Radiant Life Church and our area and the people, when I think of my spiritual life and I think of the same of yours, I believe that your position, your privilege, it is your calling. What God has put you, where he's put you, what he's given you to say or given you to do, that is your calling. So in a moment of, should I help my people? Should I help those around me? Should I be a light to the world around me and share Jesus? Should I, over the last few weeks, take food boxes or be a blessing? As Radiant Life Church, we've been giving out hundreds, actually now thousands of food boxes, blessing dozens of different organizations. It's not a very difficult thing to figure out when the government basically says, hey, we'll give you 4,400 boxes of food. Do you want them for free? Yes, we'll take them. It's pretty easy because we get to use what God has given us, the moment, to help other people. And in our life, we are in the same place that God wants us to use our position, our privilege, as our calling. And today, it's a choice, just like Esther. Will we go? Will we, in her case, go before the king? In the case of Princess Bride, were we going to help this girl or are we going to lead her to her death? Check out the next scene as we've progressed way into the story and they've decided to help Wesley. Here we go.
long do we have to wait before we find out the miracle works?
Your guess is as good as mine.
I'll beat you apart. I'll take you both together.
I guess not very long.
Why won't my arms move?
You've been mostly dead all day.
We have Miracle Max. Make a pill to bring you back.
Who are you? Are we enemies? Why am I on this wall? Where's Buttercup?
Let me explain. No, there is too much. Let me sum up. Buttercup is marrying Humperdinck in a little less than half an hour. So all we have to do is get in, break up the wedding, steal the princess, make our escape. After I kill Count Rugen.
That doesn't leave much time for dilly-dally.
You just wiggle your finger. That's wonderful.
I've always been a quick eater. What are our liabilities?
There is but one work in Castlegate. And it is guarded by 60 men.
And our assets?
Your brains. Fez's strength. My steel.
That's it? Impossible. If I had a month to plan, maybe I could come up with something but this.
You just shook your head. That doesn't make you happy.
My brains, his steel, and your strength against 60 men, and you think a little head jiggle is supposed to make me happy?
I mean, if we only had a wheelbarrow, that would be something.
Where do we put that wheelbarrow the albino head?
Over the albino, I think.
Why didn't you list that among our assets in the first place? What I wouldn't give for a Holocaust cloak.
There we cannot help you.
What did this do?
How did you get that?
At Miracle Max's. It fits so nice as I could keep it.
All right, come on, help me out. Now, I'll need a sword eventually.
Why? You can't even lift one.
True, but that's hardly common knowledge, is it? Thank you.
Once again, what great humor. I absolutely love it. That is so good. But there's a principle that we can see, that we have to work good from right where you are. They had basically nothing. Okay, I would say nothing. All of these things. However, they did have a wheelbarrow. They did have these three guys, and somehow they had a Holocaust cloak that he could pull out of his shirt. So you can't beat it. But in our life, sometimes I feel we feel the exact same way. I don't have anything. I don't have the ability. I don't have the words. I don't have the strength. I just can't accomplish a lot. Or maybe I don't have the influence. No one's going to listen to me, or no one's going to speak into my life. Or maybe even when we come to Jesus, you know what? He doesn't even really care. What do I have to offer Jesus in relationship? And I believe that God wants us to realize that we have way more than we think we have. We have way more when we understand that it's not us, it's not our own ability, it's not our own strength, and just like in The Princess Bride, they can just come up with anything and pull it out because it's a movie. Well, in God, His Spirit moves on our behalf, and even when we don't have it, He does. Even when we don't know, He does know. We have to work good from where we are. Esther 4, 14 through 17. It says that Mordecai sent this reply to Esther. Don't think for a moment that because you're in the palace, you will escape when all the other Jews are killed. If you keep quiet at a time like this, deliverance and relief for the Jews will arise from some other place, but you and your relatives will die. And then who knows if perhaps you were made queen for just such a time as this. Then Esther sent this reply to Mordecai, go and gather together all the Jews of Susa and fast for me. Do not eat or drink for 3 days, night or day. My maids and I will do the same. And then, though it is against the law, I will go in to see the king. If I must die, I must die. Wherever you are, whatever the situation of your life is, whatever assets you have, God is calling us to use them. God is calling us to walk in Him. God is calling us to entrust all of us, all of our strength, all of our ability, whether we feel like it's a lot or maybe we actually feel like it's nothing. When we entrust it to Him and give Him the glory and the honor for whatever happens, then all of a sudden I have the ability and the strength to accomplish what I need to accomplish in the exact moment that I am in. In fact, I would say it something like this, right where you are, that found people find people. Redeemed people bring redemption to people. Healed people heal people. And today, that's a group of people that we are walking in and working towards these things every day. We've been redeemed if we come into the Lord and just ask him to forgive us and make us new. And now he is releasing his power. We've been found in him, and we get to go look and find people to bring in so that Jesus can bring them into relationship with him. When we've been healed in an area of our life, when we've been brought out of a situation, maybe a dark situation, all of a sudden healing can be poured out from us to those around us. These three characters from this movie, they came together because of true love that Wesley had for Buttercup. It was all about this true love that turned them from wanting to help start a war to help get Wesley back with Buttercup. And in a day and an age, if you've given your life to Jesus, where I believe you found the love, the King, your Creator, your Lord, your Savior, then all of a sudden we can make a huge difference in our world. We can turn things around because he has called us. He's forgiven us. He saved us. He set us free. And now we get to release those things into our world. Found people, find people. Redeemed people, bring redemption to people. And healed people, heal people. And that is what we are called to do. To be the hands and the feet of Jesus. To work good right from where we are. To do this, I think there's a couple things. Two more things we're going to look at this morning. And that is first that we have to speak with boldness for God's purposes. We have a choice for God or not. Check out this next clip.
To the death.
No. To the pain.
I don't think I'm quite familiar with that phrase.
I'll explain. And I'll use small words so that you'll be sure to understand, you warthog-faced buffoon.
That may be the first time in my life a man has dared insult me.
It won't be the last. To the pain means the first thing you lose will be your feet below the ankles. Then your hands at the wrists. Next, your nose.
And then my tongue, I suppose. I killed you too quickly the last time, a mistake I don't mean to duplicate tonight.
I wasn't finished. The next thing you lose will be your left eye, followed by your right.
And then my ears, I understand. Let's get on with it.
Wrong! Your ears you keep, and I'll tell you why. So that every shriek of every child at seeing your hideousness will be yours to cherish. Every babe that weeps at your approach, every woman who cries out, "Dear God, what is that thing?" will echo in your perfect ears. That is what the pain means. It means I leave you in anguish, wallowing in freakish misery forever.
Now here we see that Wesley may or may not have all of his life figured out, right? He just might not. And, you know, there's moments in our life where we look at Esther and where we're going to look at. When we walk with God and follow God, we bring healing and freedom. When we walk in our own ways, in our own understandings, and when what we want in vengeance, and I'm going to get back at you, then we go the other direction. It's a choice that we have. And the key is that we must speak with boldness for God's purposes, not our own. In fact, I'm just going to do a quick poll. How many people in the room have gotten yourself in trouble based on your own boldness speaking that's not God-led, but maybe you're led? Anybody in the room, you've gotten yourself in trouble in the past? There's some liars in the room, but most of you are very honest. Yes, we've all done it. But when we speak boldness, and with boldness, the words of God and what he has and his purposes and his life and what his glory, something powerful happens. Something powerful is released. In Esther chapter 4, we see that Esther has now said, I'm going to go. I'm going to go in to the king. And in fact, in verse 1, it says, on the third day, Esther put on her royal robes and stood in the inner court of the king's palace, in front of the king's quarters, while the king was sitting on his throne, inside the throne room, opposite the entrance to the palace. And the king saw Queen Esther standing in the court. She won favor in his sight. And he held out to Esther the golden scepter that was in his hand. Then Esther approached and touched the tip of the scepter. And the king said to her, "What is it, Queen Esther? What is your request? It shall be given you, even to half of the kingdom." And Esther said, I'm going to add boldly, "If it please the king. Let the king and Haman come to a feast that I have prepared for the king. There's something special that happens when Esther decides to call on the Lord, decides to have people pray and fast, and her pray and fast. There's something special that even what she did not want to do, almost a superhero came out in her because she said, I'm going to go after the things of God over my own understanding, over my own strength, over my own desires even. I think even a little bit like Jesus when he said, let this cup pass from me. Even Jesus was in a spot where he's like, Lord, if there's any other way, I'll take that way. If there's any other way to do it. But when God says go, Jesus, so thankfully, went to the cross for you and me. Esther chose to do what was right, to save her people, to go in before the king. And she found favor. God wants to pour his favor out upon you and upon me. This weekend, we had a Foundations Life Group, and we're having such a great time. And this week, the Hanningfords hosted us. It was just a great time. But we're talking about faith. And what do we have to do to have our faith really matter and faith poured out in a powerful way? We must obey. We have to do what God has called us to do. We need to be who God has called us to be. Because all the faith in the world that I could possibly have, if I'm not aligning with the things of God and his direction and his power in my life and what he's called me to do, it doesn't mean a lot. But when I have faith to speak boldly because I'm doing his will in his way, then God pours out a blessing in our lives that is absolutely transformational, that absolutely will change every part of who we are when we trust him and we walk in him and we follow him. In fact, we could say it's not about you. It's not about me, but it's about him and his purposes. So when we see people hurting or oppressed, it's right to speak up. And it's what the church is called to do. Anybody who calls on the name of Jesus, who follows the word of God, we are called to speak boldly what the Lord is speaking. And we're called to keep our mouth sometimes shut when we'd rather do our own thing. And we'd rather say our own thing that doesn't line up with the word. Maybe like Wesley in that last scene, sometimes we keep our mouth shut and say, Lord, I'm going to let you flow through me. I'm going to let your words flow through me. I'm going to let the truth of your word be everything to me. Now, to close up our scenes here this morning, we have to be willing to put it all on the line for what we believe in.
I think you're bluffing.
It's possible, Pig. I might be bluffing. It's conceivable, you miserable, vomitous mass. I'm only lying here because I lack the strength to stand. But then again, perhaps I have the strength after all. Time up. Make it as tight as you like.
Oh!
Where's Fessick?
I thought he was with you.
No.
In that case,
help him.
What does Wesley need helping?
Because he has no strength.
I knew it. I knew you were bluffing. I knew he was bluffing.
We have to put it all on the line for what we believe in. Here, Wesley, he had zero strength. And I can just imagine, in fact, I remember in my own life multiple times when in a different way, not with a sword. I've never been in a sword fight, or actually I think any real fight in my life. It's a goal. I don't like it. You know, it's not my thing. But in spiritual moments, when you're laying there, you're sitting there, you're in the moment, and you say, Lord, am I going to go and I'm going to do what you've called me to do, even though I don't feel like I have the confidence? Am I going to maybe serve in a way it's a little outside of my comfort zone? Am I going to say yes to you? We have to walk in confidence, believing that God is with us. We have to put it all on the line for what you believe in. Wesley stood up, and that was probably the first time he stood up on his own in the movie. He didn't know if it would happen. And there's moments when we put ourselves on the line, when we put what God is doing in us on the line, that all of a sudden people around us are going to see God working through us. And our lack of strength, our lack of ability, our lack even sometimes of knowledge, His Spirit pours through us and we can overcome. We can see the goodness of God pour out in our lives. Esther, the superhero, the true story of the Bible, had went to the king, had asked for a moment with Haman at a dinner, and then had another, at that dinner, asked for another one. And finally, the moment of truth comes, and in Esther 7, 3 through 6, the king asks and says, "You can have anything, up to half the kingdom." And the queen answers, "If I have found favor in your sight, O king, and if it please the king, let my life be granted for my wish and my people for my request. For we have been sold, I and my people, to be destroyed, to be killed, and to be annihilated. If we had been sold merely as slaves, men and women, I would have been silent, for our affliction is not to be compared with the loss to the king." And then jumping to verse 6, "And Esther said, 'A foe, an enemy, the wicked Haman.' Then Haman was terrified because the king, or before the king and the queen." She was bold. She was powerful. She spoke truth. She said what was happening. She put it all on the line. In this moment, either Haman was going down or Esther and the Jews were going down. And you know what happens when we say yes to God, when we speak boldly, when we put it all on the line? Jesus shows up every single time. He shows up in our life. He shows up in our situations. He shows up in powerful, powerful ways. You can't say it or put it any more on the line than Esther 2:16. "If I must die, I must die." And my prayer on a costume and character Sunday is that we can get dressed up and we can have fun and we can hang out, but it means nothing to come and to have fellowship together and get candy and to do these things if we miss out on what God is saying. If we miss out on the power of God, if we miss out on speaking the goodness of God, of being the superhero, not a Wesley or not an Iron Man or whatever superhero or star celebrity in a movie, but if we're not who God has called us to be by saying simple yeses to the things of God, then all we're doing is hanging out and having fun. I love worshiping, but it doesn't mean anything if God is not who we're worshiping and praising. It's time for us to speak with boldness and to put it all on the line for Jesus. Luke 9:24 says it this way: "If you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake, you will save it." And today my prayer is that we can give up our own strength, our own abilities, our own desires even, and say, "Lord, you, your desires, your strength, your ability, let it flow through me." If as a church we can do that individually, if we can do that together, something powerful will come from us. Today, give all of your ability, your energy, your passion, your resources to the only cause that will shape your eternity and secure a brighter destiny for people through the good news of the gospel. Today, let's give it all for Jesus. In fact, today, if you're here and you've never given your life to Jesus, we want to invite you to come and to be a part of the family. And it's way more than the Radiant Life Church family. We call ourselves Radiant Family. Our website is radiant.family. But we're talking about the family of God around the world. Those who line up with the Word of God. That put the Word of God above what culture would say or our own opinions or our own desires. Today, we invite you to join the family. Don't hang on to what we have, but give away and see what God will do. And for every one of us in this room, maybe you've been walking with the Lord for years. I'm just believing and praying that even as we look at people with costumes and we just have a fun, wild Sunday, that God will reveal Himself, something to you that today you need to maybe give away. You need to give to God and let God come and make whole. Let God come and make new in your life. So as we close this morning, in fact, if we could all over this room, if we could just stand to our feet, I feel that it's just such a special moment. And in this moment, if you've never given your life to Jesus, I encourage you, just in your own way, in your own words, just to say, Lord, forgive me. Make me new. I repent of my sins. I give my life to you, and I want to be your child in any way, whatever those words are to you. And Jesus welcomes you home. And I want to pray for each one today, that God would bless you, that he would strengthen you. He would make you into the superhero that he has called you to be. So Lord, this morning I pray blessing over each person in this room. I pray that you would pour your spirit out upon them, you'd pour your goodness out upon them, that they would experience your love today. They would experience you in a new and a powerful way. Lord, that each person here would decide to be a part of the solution in all of the things, the situations of their lives. They would work for good from right where they are. They would use their position. They would use what you've called them to be, who you've called them to make a difference. And Lord, let us speak with boldness. Let us speak with power and speak with authority. Let your goodness flow from your people and help us to put it all on the line for you, Jesus. Lay everything down before you so that one more person can come to know you. And Lord, we thank you that we can have fun. We can enjoy a time together as a family, looking silly and having a good time. But Lord, I pray that it would focus us to remember who you've called us to be, that we are superheroes. We're your children. We're the people in this thing of life, God. You use us to say yes. And just like Esther, today we say yes, whether it's to save a whole nation or to let one person be encouraged this week. God, we say yes to you. So we love you. We thank you and we praise you. You are so, so good. It's in your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen. Well, thank you for coming to Radiant Life Church this morning. If you are in the room and you're not going to kids' church in the next hour, you'll get candy over there if not. But we have white bags somewhere. I don't know if I see them. They might be out in the foyer that you can get a bag of candy. If you are an adult in the room and you wore a costume, so you can get real creative real fast if not. But then we have special bags of candy for you. And for everybody else, there's a piece of candy as well. So be sure to stop, grab some candy on your way out. Kids, get pictures. We've got dinosaurs. We've got characters all over the place. I believe I see Woody back there, Pastor Matt. He's looking good. And there's many more. So have a great day. Be careful what you watch. Be careful what you listen to. Be careful what you talk about. Savor the presence of Jesus.